The reason people aren't financially free is they don't know what to do and they don't know where to start. I want you to join Joey and I at the Virtual Inner Circle Live, April the 4th through the 6th, as we share with you the exact answers to those questions. We only do this event one time per year. I don't want you to miss out. Go to wealthwallstreet.com/live and enter promo code podcast. When you're at this event, you're going to get your investor DNA. You're going to get access to up to 6 different passive income strategies. So you know, leaving this event, exactly what to do, taking our decades of knowledge so that you can start becoming financially free. Go to wealthwallstreet.com/live and enter the promo code podcast. On today's episode, you're not going to hear from the Italian Stallion except in this intro, Joey.
That's right. Unfortunately, I was unavailable for this recording, but today is one of those episodes that you're not going to want to miss. We're talking about retirement income, and not the retirement income that as you know it. This is the infinite banking way, because this is the roundtable. And every week on Tuesday, we're unpacking another small piece of the infinite banking puzzle so that you can implement it for you and your family.
So here's the thing, Joey. We're creating income streams, not accumulating assets.
That's right.
And in life...
We're buying assets that create those income streams.
Right. In life, conflict is what makes things interesting. It makes it interesting in movies. We sort of want to avoid conflict, but at the same time, let's go ahead and be honest. Every time you see something going on, you drive by a car wreck, what do? You're like, what's happening there?
I don't want to look, but I can't help it.
Yeah. You see two people going at it in the grocery store. You're like, come on, kids. And all you're doing is turning around like, what's happening over there? Right. Conflict makes things interesting. And I think we have so many assets that we're buying right now and working on. We've got our short-term rental stuff.
That's right.
And I can only imagine some of the conflict we're going to run into. I mean, we already in month one ran into your association telling us, like, you guys aren't supposed to be in here. You guys can't use the pool.
Yeah, that did not go well.
But it did go well.
It came out on the other side well, but it did not start well.
It didn't start well. There was some conflict there. And I know we're going to have an experience more. In our land business, our TriStar land business, we've had some conflict there, haven't we?
Oh, my gosh. People get cold feet. They change their minds. You've already put your deposit down and they want it back. I mean, there's all sorts of things.
What about the property that we know we're like the person has agreed to sell it to us and we start marketing it. We find a buyer for it. They give us a deposit. Now we find out the seller doesn't want to sell it anymore because his kid wants to have the property.
Yeah, that puts you in a bad spot.
but those things happen. And at this stage of life, I think it makes it interesting, right? It's just that extra spice of life, if you will.
Sure.
But there is a point in time where I would say if I looked at my parents, they're not at a point where they're looking for conflict.
Yeah. They kind of want to ease out of that conflict into more kind of, you know, simple life at that point.
Right. Simplicity is better. And I think of when we're talking about how the infinite banking process works, we're building an asset, which is the life insurance policy. But we're borrowing against that to build assets to create cash flow.
Right.
And when we get to a point in the future, there's going to be a few assets that we own that just might bring more headaches or conflict that we just decide at this point, why don't I just go ahead and sell it off?
That's right. And then you're going to have a big problem on your hands. You got all this cash. You got to do something with it. And you've lost the income that asset was providing.
So now, if you've been borrowing against your life insurance policies this whole time and you have a big loan against it and you do sell off that asset, you've got a place to put it. You can literally repay all those loans at once, which then, regardless if you are insurable or not, you get all that insurance right away at the rate in which you were originally insured at. And then, Joey, you can turn it into income.
Turn on the spigot.
And how much conflict is there when you actually start taking income from a life insurance policy?
I mean, they have to know where to send it every single month.
You got to know how much you can spend.
That's right.
And at this episode, we're going to break down that specific area of taking income against a life insurance policy, the IBC way. So let's get ready to belly up.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome, welcome. I am your host today, Russ, the Idea Guy Morgan. I'm sitting around the round table with three beautiful faces, handsome faces, faces that if you have not had a chance to see yet, you've got to get in the inner circle so that you can see our coaches. I'm without our main Italian stallion today, but I do have Ernie downtown. Ernie Brown. What's up, Ernie?
Hey, Russ. That was pretty close.
I wanted to make sure I messed it up. Just like that was just okay. On purpose.
Okay.
How are you today, man?
Man, I'm good. We've been in some meetings today and thankful for this pause where we're going to have a conversation together. I always look forward to that.
Are you excited to talk about taking income out of a life insurance policy?
Absolutely. That is one of the, in my opinion, one of the coolest things that we get to look at when we are doing this, because that's the long game.
It's an area that's often not talked about in the conversation of becoming your own banker, but it's definitely a fun topic, isn't it?
Not talked about, but always shown.
Exactly. All right. We also have Mark the Gooch, our resident pilot. Hurry, Gucci. What's up, Mark? How are you, man?
Oh, doing good, guys. Doing good. Happy to be here again.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the way you've matched your shirt with your backdrop. Nice job.
Just a little bit of a different rotation. I'll try and bring a different color every week so that we can keep blending into the fern scenario behind me.
Well, and I think I should have like thrown in something about your like horticulture chops that you got going on. I mean, you've been like canning jam and making pickles or something. I don't know, whatever, however that saying goes.
I am going full victory garden out there. It is cucumbers are out of control. We got pickles on the way, dill beans, jamming. It's good stuff.
All right. Well, we have a new coach for the roundtable today. I'm excited to have JD Hill, a man that has been very instrumental in our company for the last several months, has been adding tons of value. But the first time we get a chance to have him on the show, welcome, JD.
Hey, I'm really glad to be here. I'm disappointed, though, I didn't get such a wonderful introduction as Ernie and Mark, but hopefully I can earn one of those soon.
Well, it does. It actually takes time. It requires me to sit down and think of something weird and awkward to say in a stuttering manner.
I understand. Well, it doesn't help, but I have probably one of the most generic names of all time.
Yes. JD, what does JD stand for, by the way?
More generic is coming your way. Get ready. John David.
Yeah. Okay. So again, we'll keep that off the show for next time, but thank you for sharing.
Yes.
It's good to have you. So topic today is how do we create passive income and not from a traditional way that we've been talking about a lot of times, which is from real estate or from business ownership, from lending. It's from a life insurance policy. Now, that may not be news to you, but if you've read Becoming Your Own Banker and you've looked through any of the illustrations, you've noticed that there is one common thread in every one of Nelson's examples. What do you guys think that is?
The bolded and highlighted section of those illustrations.
And for those who don't have a copy of Becoming Your Own Banker handy, what would that mean, Ernie?
That is the income that he shows in every single one of his policies that he demonstrates.
That's true. JD, you've been coaching people for a long time. And how important is it for someone to see the end result of these life insurance policies?
I think it's paramount, really. It helps to, I think, really complete the picture. You know, it's not just the idea of saving money, that's part of it. But when you can finally see the light at the end of the tunnel, right? The ability to now take everything that you've been building and the compound interest and all that growth and now turn it into passive income. I think it really brings a lot of certainty and security for a lot of people.
Mark, when you started out with this, did you ever give much credence to the income illustrations part? Whenever you were looking through Nelson Esch's book, did you go down to the bottom and say, wow, that thing's producing 100,000, 125,000 a year in income? Or did you focus more on the use of the money?
I'd say it initially started with the focus on the use of the money.
Yeah.
But my eyes are drawn to those numbers, and that also looked like just, you know, more icing on the cake.
Well, it is. I mean, when you think about, like, everything we're doing is with a purpose, right? So I'm going to bring it back to the four steps. The four steps in our process, number one is clarity. You got to know where you are and where you're wanting to go. And for some people, they don't even have this purpose that is driving them. But for those of us who have really played that out and we know exactly why we're doing what we're doing, and what we want to accomplish, it sets up step two, three, and four so easy for us. Step two is taking control. That's putting money into these life insurance policies as a means to the end. The end is where we're going to pick our course. Step three is picking our course, picking the path. That's the passive income strategy that you have chosen, and that may be real estate, maybe business, maybe lending, maybe something cool that I don't even know about. But step four is enjoying it. And what I love about the thought process, Mark, is you were saying that you were thinking about the use of it. And that's a lot of time that comes in step three, right? When we're using it to create streams of income. Everybody keeps saying, when is Mark going to get that ATM guy conversation going on here? And that's coming. It's coming. The first time you ever heard of that, you'll just wait. There's going to be an ATM show at some point. Mark's got an amazing story that he shared with us and has teased out. Finally, he finally connected us to his guy. You know, I feel like we were mentioning movie references earlier. You guys ever seen, and I'm not encouraging you to go watch this movie, by the way. You ever watch the movie with Johnny Depp, Blow?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, there's a scene where this partner is trying to get connected to Johnny Depp's guy, which ended up being Pee Wee Herman. And it was like his connection into the drug scene, like basically his outlet. He said, you never introduced me to your guy. And he finally introduces him and he runs off with it. I don't know where I was going with that other than that the connection here. You following that? Did I lose you?
In a roundabout way, I see where you're going with that.
Okay. I don't have Joey to help me out today, Ernie. You're going to have to pick
up. Yeah, all right, I'll pick it up.
When I lose something halfway along, you got to jump in there.
Okay. Will do.
Okay. Back to the story. Income. But where I was going is that when you have the income, after you've gotten to where you wanted to go, you may not want to continue down the path of owning all the real estate or owning all the businesses. You might want to have a place that you can sell that asset, right? And we know if we use these life insurance policies in a way that they've just been the thoroughfare, the means to the end, then we can take that cash, put them back in there, replenish all the loans that we've taken, and then simplify the passive income approach by just telling the insurance company to send us money every month or every year, right?
Right. And that's kind of a crazy idea when you think about it, carrying loans on purpose.
Yeah.
We had a conversation in our community this week about that. But for the purpose of having a place to sell those assets, the cash has got to go somewhere. The income's going to continue. We're either going to take it out of the asset, continue taking it out of the asset, or put it back into the policy. And the end game is the policy can become a place for that income to come from.
JD, in your time in the financial industry, how big of a concern do you think it is for people in retirement of running out of money?
Candidly, it's the number one fear of retirees today is running out of money. And I think that the industry in general, education around finance in general, does such a really poor job of actually teaching people what we're trying to accomplish, which is income.
Yeah. And if you have a place that can provide consistent income, that allows for less stress, right? I mean, one of the major medical maladies is stress. And it is the precursor to almost all these other things. And I think that we're talking about a subject matter that is super important, taking income. And insurance companies, most people may not know this, but insurance companies have been the main provider of income streams for people for you know, decades, if not longer.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, most pensions were built off of annuities. An annuity is nothing more than a stream of income that comes from an insurance company. So we're using just one side of that of that part. An insurance company actually is using the people who are preparing and have this fear of dying too early and want to protect their assets. That's why they sell life insurance, right? And then on the opposite side, they have these people who have assets and are scared of running out of money, so they create annuities. And we can actually create both through the same product that we all own that we're using today is just a vehicle to buy more land or to buy more real estate or to lend out to more people, right? Mark, you actually have a friend that has created a pretty good stream of income in the real estate business.
Yeah. Yes, she has amassed quite a series of doors.
When you say amassed a number of doors, what does that mean?
She has north of 70 properties.
70 properties. Is there a potential at some point in time that she would want to not necessarily get the phone calls for, you know, the toilet breaking? And it's probably she didn't get that phone call, but she probably gets the call when an expense inside of one of her unit exceeds, say, $500. And if you've ever owned any piece of real estate, you know that happens at least once a year. And if you own 70 properties, that means you're going to get one of those calls on average over one time a week. Is there a situation where you could see her maybe wanting to release some of that burden?
I have to imagine yes, because I only have five and I hate it when I get that phone call.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that most people don't even know that when, like you said earlier, if we could take that cash, we paid off, if we took the real estate, we sold it, and we had a place to put that money, we could just turn it into an income stream. And most of the places that mainstream America right now is trying to create income from are areas that are not really good at creating consistency. JD, you've had kind of a securities license, financial background. What is your experience with the predictability of taking money out of the market?
I mean, really, that's a good question. That leads perfectly into the reason why the number one fear of people retiring today is running out of money is because of the unpredictability of having to use the stock market as a means to create income. And, you know, as somebody who has historically been, you know, what would be, I guess, a traditional financial advisor, you know, I have a similar background as you do, Russ. You know, I gave traditional financial advice to people, you know, put money in your 401k, put money in the market, cross your fingers and hope that it all works out. And when people actually get to, you know, the top of the mountain, if you will, and they're ready to start retiring, it's a meager number on how much they can actually withdraw or spend from the money that they've saved. And it's a lot to do with what you just said in terms of, you know, not knowing when they're going to die. There's a lot of uncertainty right now in the market from a political standpoint, not to get into a political conversation, but there's a lot of uncertainty for a lot of people. And that just makes people nervous.
It makes people really nervous. Where do you think most people get their retirement income from, Ernie?
The average American?
Yep.
Where does most of it come from?
Yep.
I would think that'd be Social Security benefits. Yeah.
Social Security benefits. Do you guys know that 63 million people received Social Security benefits in 2019?
That is staggering.
63 million. Now,
gosh.
One out of five of those people were receiving it in some form of survivor benefits or Social Security disability, right? But four out of five are receiving the retirement benefits. Can you imagine if the retirement benefit coming from Social Security, which represented the majority of the average person's income after work, was volatile, meaning that one day it's $1,000 this month, the next month it's $250. How would that impact the lives of those retirees?
That'd be devastating.
Catastrophic.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, right? I mean, it is what they depend on, and volatility would be the end to that, right? And the reason I bring that up is because right now, outside of Social Security, the other main dependable or the main place people are depending on receiving income comes from where?
Social Security.
No, outside of Social Security.
Oh, outside?
Pensions.
Well, maybe people are receiving them today, but people are getting ready to retire in the future. There's so few people that will receive
qualified
a pension.
Retirement plans.
Qualified retirement plans, right? I mean, I don't know how many times we can beat up on qualified retirement plans in here, but I can keep bringing it to the table. Maybe we are wealth without Wall Street. This is wealth without Wall Street after all. Well, I bring up that point because if this is the one stable place, Social Security, and I I'm planning them for a situation where I won't even receive it, right? But I definitely, even if I do receive it, I don't want it to represent like a large portion of what I want to receive. So, but everyone else has the rest of their money in a market-based item. Well, how does volatility impact the amount of money someone can take out of a 401k when they're retired?
I mean, think about it like this, Russ. Like, imagine going to work for a new company, and the guy's like, I don't know what I'm going to pay you. It's a really good opportunity. The pay could be really good at the end of the year, but I don't know what I'm going to pay you yet. And having that uncertainty, and then you taking the job and getting to the end of the year and saying, profits really weren't that good this year, so we can't pay you. Right? Like, would you take that job?
No.
But isn't that what most people are signing up for?
Yeah, that actually sounds like most of the intern jobs that we ought to have.
It's a pretty good model.
It's a great model. I love it. As long as I'm not the recipient of it.
That's right.
But you're right. I mean, we've actually interviewed on our show Wade Fowle. He's the doctor and professor of retirement income. And he did a study on what percentage of money can someone take out of their retirement account and have a 100% guarantee that they will not run out of money, and the number was 4%. Well, you think about that. What is 4% of your account balance? Can you live off of that? For the average person who has like $68,000 in their qualified retirement plan, I don't think that number is big enough. Do you, Jordy?
At least not big enough for me.
I mean, maybe you can get by on $250 a month.
Yeah.
That's not really a strategy. So, you know, one of the things that I love that we're talking about this is because there's so many factors in income. And I know you're saying, well, are you guys going to get to the part where you talk about how you take income from life insurance policies? Because I want to hear that. But before we get there, I want to talk about some of the other factors that are preventing the typical places we're taking money from. Why is it that we can only get 4%, JD? Why is, outside of volatility, what are other factors prohibiting us from being able to take out larger percentages of money out of our retirement accounts without running out of money?
Well, one is, I mean, longevity, right? The fact that people are living longer and longer every single day. You know, this is going to sound silly, but it's true. If you look at life expectancy tables, the irony of life expectancy is the longer you live, the higher probability you have to keep living, right? Like the longer you live, the longer you keep living. And as people continue to age, like that is a big uncertainty, because if I don't know when I'm going to die, then how long do I have to plan that I'm going to live for?
That's a Jack Handy question right there, man. That's deep thoughts. Ernie, that was a skit from Saturday Night Live, yeah, about 20 years ago.
Forgive me. I'm looking it up right
well,
now.
Well, I mean, Mark, I mean, you have some age in your lineage. Is that how you would say that correctly?
Politely.
Well, Nelson would call that a great choice of ancestors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have some people in your family tree that have grown old.
Yes. Yeah. My grandma actually got the centurion certificate from the Japanese consulate for breaking 100. Like, so they actually have a certificate that they give you
when you go to 100, you get a centurion certificate.
Yeah. When you've made it to 100, you get a certificate. Congratulations. Way to go. And then, you know, also the other part of that too, right? We're talking about longevity. Well, any life insurance plan that she had, she just knocked that mortality table out of the park. And now we see that it's up to 121 because they don't like losing those bets.
Yeah, your grandmother was exactly the reason why all insurance companies went back and redid their things from age 100 to 121.
I was wondering why they did
that. They were like, come on, Grandma Haraguchi. No, do not bust our tails. They don't like to have outliers.
No.
She was an outlier. How old did she live to?
I was trying to recall exactly. I'm pretty sure it's 106.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, you think about that though, from, you know, if you have volatility as an issue, you have what the return's going to be, that's going to be an issue. And you have longevity. All of these factors are the reason why you can only take out small percentage out of these accounts. And if you stick around for our inner circle, we're actually going to go through and show you some of those statistics. How do you get in the inner circle, Ernie? I don't think we've even mentioned that yet.
Yeah. Is very easy, surprisingly easy.
Let's do it. Tell them.
So if you're listening to this and you keep hearing us talk about the inner circle and you finally want to know what that is, you can go on the internet to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/innercircle.
Inner circle. I love it. Well, I think it's definitely a question that we have is that shouldn't we have certainty into our future? And as we talk about these life insurance policies, before we go, let's break this out just a little bit, JD. How can someone take money from a life insurance policy in retirement?
Well, through their cash values, right? All the money that they've now saved up and accumulated, we can now turn that into a guaranteed income stream.
You say guaranteed, like that's guaranteed.
Yeah, guaranteed. It's a novel thing in today's world. You don't hear it a lot. But yeah, absolutely. It's completely and totally guaranteed. And I think, you know, as you look at, you know, we go back to the four steps, right? Control, right? So many people want control of their finances and using, you know, the infinite banking concept, that's one of the things that they're doing is they're recapturing control over their finances. But the unique thing about it is that that control doesn't stop once they're now done working. That control continues into retirement with passive income that's guaranteed from their policies.
Man, so good.
And the only thing that limits them, as JD is saying that, I just can think back and hear Nelson Nash talking about this. The only thing that limits how much you can get is how much you've put in.
That's
and
right.
He said, if you knew at passive income time, you're going to get back everything you put in tax-free, would you object to putting more in? Those words are just ringing in my head as we talk about creating guaranteed income, not to mention tax-free. We talked about taxes on the last podcast. Man, what an opportunity, I think.
Well, when you think of his motto was plan as if you're going to live forever.
Yeah.
But live today as if today was going to be your last day. And I think that the planning forever is shortly done. I think a lot of people might live today, you know, live for today. They never think of or plan as if they were going to live forever. But every one of these tools that we're talking about, how we use them are preparing us for that. Like we're putting our money in an account where we can use it today, but we're also setting ourselves up for a future and our heirs to be benefited from our actions today too. Cause I think that's even more of the story is that a lot of people, one of the biggest reasons, Mark, people don't spend down their retirement accounts.
Why is that?
They're afraid of running out of money. Not just for the sake of running out of money, but then becoming dependent upon their kids or someone else. And so they store money throughout their lives, living without, and then they get to retirement as if that's when they're going to start this huge spending spree. But then their brains turn to, well, I'm no longer working. Now I'm going to have to make sure I'm frugal in retirement so that I am no longer out of control. Because when you don't have money, you're subjected to someone else, right? I've talked about that on another show where I wanted to pay for our wedding because I wanted to have control of all the little things on it. I didn't ever pay for my wedding, by the way. It was just one of those harebrained ideas I came up with. But that is a fear of people in retirement, not running out of money, and not just because they don't want to run out of money. Obviously, that's a big one. But one is that they don't want to lose control, right? Because then they have to go ask for help. They're subject to whatever that looks like. And I love the fact that what you said, JD, is that we actually, through these insurance policies, can create a guaranteed stream of income that will live, will keep paying as long as we're living. And then there will be this death benefit on the end, which then I love the fact of helping people see what that looks like, of what do you think this will do to help jumpstart the next generation so they don't have to create everything from scratch, maybe like the way you did.
Which is the beauty of legacy, right? I mean, as we get older, legacy becomes more and more important. And the reality is that this helps to self-complete any type of legacy that you would want to leave behind to your family so that you don't disinherit your loved ones or any of those types of things.
No doubt. All right. Well, we're going to press pause in this conversation here and end this podcast. For everyone who is a part of our inner circle, they're about to see kind of what we're talking about, because we actually went and ran some examples, and we're going to talk about how these insurance policies can provide income for 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, and 50-year-olds once they get to 65 or whatever it is. And we're gonna compare that to what the market provides. And I hope if you're not an Inner Circle member already, you will join the Inner Circle, and then you will come and go to our previous recordings of these and watch what we're talking about, because I think this is important, and I'm excited that we got a chance to share. So thanks, JD, for joining us today. Thanks, Mark and Ernie. I'm your host, Russ Morgan. We are out today. Now we're going to get into the Inner Circle.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms, in places you understand, so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.